All right, good evening. I told Cody back there, standing room only tonight. I know you guys had a hard time getting a seat in this place. I might start selling tickets for... I'm kidding. Thank you guys for being here. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be back with the armor of God tonight. And I know we missed last week, so let me just remind you why we're doing this. We took a break from our normal study to get into the armor of God because I believe, and I know it's true on a large scale in our world, in our nation, that the spiritual warfare has been taken up another notch, to another level. Unlike anything I've seen in my days, the spiritual warfare is just heavy. And then I also believe that even once we got started in this study, that the spiritual warfare in our church has been taken to another level since we started this. We're about 8-9 weeks into this, and we've seen a lot of things in our church over those last 8 or 9 weeks. And I believe we've needed the armor of God more now than maybe we have in the past. So this has been a good study for us. We need the armor of God today more than I think we've ever needed it. So we've been putting it on piece by piece, and tonight we add one more piece. And now we get to these, and I'll show you in a minute, we get to the piece of the armor that you actually have to take up and not put on, really. You'll see the wording here as I read it to you. So some of this stuff you put on and you wear, and then other things like a sword you take up or a shield you take up and you carry. So today we start the second half of the armor, and we take up these things. And the thing that we're going to take up tonight is the shield of faith. God has given us a shield of faith. I believe that as we've studied this, that God has given us superior armor, that He's not left us without protection. I love that God does that. He's not just left us without protection. He's given us protection, and He's given us the very best protection that we could ever want. So let me read you these verses. I'm going to start in verse 10. And read down to verse 18. I hope you guys get this in your mind and in your heart. It says in verse 10, finally, this is the last thing he wants to talk about. I think this is the main thing he wants to talk about. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, and he starts putting it on here, and you'll notice the wording here. He says, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then he switches in verse 16 from having on to and taking up. Verse 16, so above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewithal you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we're taking the shield, we're taking the sword, we're taking our helmet, and these are things that we're putting on that we don't wear every day, that we don't wear all the time. And then verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So tonight we're going to take up the shield of faith, and I think you'll see that this is another necessary piece of our armor. So let's pray together, and we'll study this one verse, verse 16. Father, I thank you for giving us superior protection. You've not left us vulnerable. You've not left us open to attack, but you have given us everything we need to withstand in the evil day, to stand when the attack comes. And God, I know that you've given this to us, but a lot of us, me included, live our lives like we don't have it. So God, I wanted to do this series so we could all put it on and keep it on. And we could have a protection when the attacks come. So God, I pray that as we take up the shield tonight, that you would teach us what this shield that is faith means and how we can use it every single day. Help us to take up the shield of faith tonight. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was on social media the other day and come across a post, and sometimes you can find your best sermon illustrations just by reading Facebook posts. So I was reading a Facebook post the other day, and on the Facebook post, the person said, Satan is attacking me hard this morning. And that's really all that the post said. Satan is attacking me hard. So the first thing I do, which is I think what we all do when we see a Facebook post, is let's read the comments and see what people say. So Satan is attacking me hard this morning, and you thought you'd go down through there and see the comments that would say, praying for you, or put on the shield of faith, or put on have your loins girt about with truth, or the helmet of salvation. Here's how you can withstand the attack. But none of those, it didn't say that on any of the comments, but one of the comments stood out to me, and I wrote it down, and I said, I've got to use that at some point, so I'm using it tonight. The comment said, not today, Satan. And I know that that's, for me, that's funny. It's a wildly popular phrase. It's, you see that. I don't know if you guys have seen it anywhere, but I see it all over the place. I see it on t-shirts. I actually Googled it today. And there's all kinds of these t-shirts that are getting sold that says, "Not today, Satan," on it. There's coffee mugs. There's bumper stickers. There are memes that you can type in your phone, and they have all these different memes that says, "Not today, Satan," on it. And I read that and I thought, does that do any good at all? Is there anything, is Satan saying, okay, I'm going to attack this person all day today. And then when he hears, "Not today, Satan," he says, "Okay, sorry. I'm just going to back off today and I'm not going to attack today. Maybe tomorrow." And all we have to do is very simply say, "Not today, Satan," and his attacks are gone. So I read that and I kind of got a chuckle out of it. It's not biblical. I think most Christians have no clue whatsoever how to deal with Satan. How to deal with the spiritual attacks. They'll say silly things without even knowing any better. I know it wasn't mean in a heretical way, but they say those things and they do things and they have no idea how to withstand the attack of Satan. I think that we look for quick fixes. We try to say these things and hope that the devil will flee. We treat spiritual warfare way too lightly. And I think we're up against way more than we could possibly handle. And saying things like, "Not today, Satan," is not going to work. It's not going to help you today. It's not going to help you tomorrow. What you need when Satan attacks, if he's attacking you hard today, if he's going to attack you hard tomorrow, if you're feeling the attacks of Satan upon your church or upon your family, then you're not going to say, "Not today, Satan." You're going to have to take up the whole armor of God. That's the only thing God's given us in order to withstand the attacks of Satan. So we have here what God has given us. And he's given us everything we need to protect ourselves from the great enemy of our souls. So tonight, I want to not say, I'm not going to say, "Not today, Satan." So instead of saying something like that, let's take the shield of faith. And if you take the shield of faith, it says in verse 16, then you can withstand all the fiery darts of Satan. If you have the shield of faith, you don't have to say, "Not today, Satan." You can just hold up the shield and know that God's going to protect you from the attack. So let's take up the shield. It's absolutely essential. You desperately need the shield. It's been called the armor of the armor. That this shield protects all the other pieces of the armor. So let's take up this shield. I'm going to give you 2 points tonight on the shield of faith. I think this is maybe the most information we get on any of the pieces of the armor. So I'm going to start with number one, the attack that we face. Because he gives us here in verse 16 what we are being attacked by. And you see that in the second half of verse 16. I'll read it. It says, "Above all, taking up the shield of faith." And you're going to use that shield, "wherewith all you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." This is the only piece of the armor that tells us what the attack is. And the attack is, and you see that there. I want you to make sure you see that in verse 16. The attack here is fiery darts. This would be, in that day, the most advanced attack of their day. This would be dreaded. This would be a cunning attack. The army would take, and this wouldn't be hand-to-hand combat. Most of this so far has been hand-to-hand, that we wrestle, that we're face-to-face, we're mano-a-mano with the enemy. But this time it's coming from a long distance. This time it's like today we would shoot missiles across a nation. But in that day, the most advanced attack that they had was arrows and spears. And they would get from a great distance away, and they would take their arrows, and they would set them on fire. They say that the arrow head would be hollow, and they would cover it in some kind of something that would burn, and they would set it on fire. And it wouldn't just be one person with a bow and arrow. It would be a whole host of people with bows and arrow. And they would take and they would say, "Bombs away!" And they'd fire those arrows straight up into the air at their enemy. They would launch them all at the same time. They'd come in quickly. They'd come in hard to see. They'd be hard to defend. And when it hit, it would explode and set fire and burn everything that it hit. So it may not hit you in the head. You may have a helmet on. But if it hit you in the arm, your arm would catch fire. If it hit you in the leg, your leg would catch fire. And if they looked up and saw burning arrows coming their way, all they could do is run. This was a scary attack, a fierce attack. The sky would light up with thousands of arrows raining down upon them. It was relentless. It was an onslaught. And the question we have to ask is this coming for us? Because this is all obviously metaphorical. It's an illustration. He's not talking about literal arrows raining down upon us. So what are these arrows or this attack that's coming at us from everywhere? I mean, this is a relentless attack. It is fierce onslaught. Well, the explanation is given to us. That we may be able to, that it comes from the fiery darts of the wicked one, the enemy. That this wicked one, the evil one, is the same one we fight in verse 12. We have it in verse 11, against the wiles of the devil. He's the wicked one. Verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You've got to think of it this way. You have Satan. You have his principalities. You have his powers. You have the rulers of the darkness of this world. You have spiritual wickedness. You have Satan and his entire army, and they are shooting fiery arrows your way. He's diabolical. He's cruel. He's dark. He's vile. He's sinister. He's corrupt. He's out to get us. He's out to inflict great spiritual damage on our lives. And he starts as soon as you're saved, and it never ends till the day you die, that he is shooting these arrows at you. The attack is, it says Satan, the wicked one, is shooting arrows. Which means, and you got to look at it in the way that it's said, I tried to line up all these people shooting bows and arrows. And there are a host of them firing all kinds of different arrows your way. Which shows me that Satan's arsenal is unlimited. That he doesn't have just one way to attack, he has many ways to attack. That he's not just coming at you with one arrow, he's coming at you with thousands of arrows. This is a relentless onslaught. That his quiver is full. That this is fierce. It is relentless. That it bombards us. That every day when we walk out of our house and we step our feet out of our bed, that he is relentlessly sending an onslaught of arrows our way. We're under attack. Every day. Relentless, unlimited, hitting us from every direction. If you could see in the spiritual realm and you looked up, you would know that there are spiritual arrows coming your way, trying to destroy you every single day. Coming at your house, coming at your family, coming at you spiritually, coming at our church, coming at our nation. Satan is sending an onslaught at us. He's attacking us daily. And you say, okay, but what are the arrows? What are these fiery darts? I thought it was interesting too that it wasn't just that they would shoot arrows, but they would throw spears and they would throw javelins. They would set these big long javelins on fire and throw them by hand. So they're not just shooting arrows; they're throwing javelins and they're throwing spears, and these things are coming nonstop. You say, what are these things? What are these arrows? Let me give you a few of them before we move on. The arrows would be temptation. That Satan is every single day. You need to understand this. Every single day, Satan is sending an onslaught at you of temptation to sin. That you're getting every day. I mean, you don't see it as an arrow, but every day as you're flipping through the channels to watch things you shouldn't watch and to listen to things you shouldn't listen to and to say things that you shouldn't say. And you're walking through the aisles of the stores and seeing things on magazines and you're wanting to gossip and spread rumors. And he's just firing these things at you left and right to inflame. Look at this. I wrote this down. To inflame our desires. I said it would explode. He wants to inflame our desires. He wants to ignite our passions. He wants to entice our lust. He wants to fascinate our mind. And this is happening everywhere we go and everywhere we turn. He's hitting us with arrows of temptation. Let me give you more. He's hitting you with arrows of fear. Have you ever just out of nowhere started being scared? I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes scared. I think I was sound asleep. I was dreaming about the cup of coffee I was going to drink in the morning. And all of a sudden you wake up and there's these fears that are in your mind and you're thinking, where did that come from? I mean, it's usually unreasonable things that you're afraid of. What if this happens? Or what if this happens? Or what if this happens? What if I get sick? What if I've got cancer? What if a loved one dies? What if the church falls under? What if? And you're overcome with fear. That is coming from Satan. You understand that? He's firing fear at you left and right. And most people, all they can say is, get away, Satan. Not today, Satan. You might as well be covering yourself with a piece of paper. It's not working. How often are you hit with fear? Unreasonable fear. Dread. Shaking. Panic attack. Hitting you. Shooting them at you every day. The arrow of temptation, the arrow of fear, the arrow of doubt. Satan's best arrow, get this, is did God say? The very first arrow he shot landed right at Eve. And the arrow said, did God really say? And then Jesus in the temptation on the mountain, the same arrow shot his way. Did God really say? Will God do what he said he's going to do? And he makes you doubt God, and he makes you doubt God's word. I mean, that's one of his best arrows. He hit Adam and Eve. He aimed it at Christ. I mean, he aimed it at Job. God's not good to you. Doubting God. Curse God and die. I mean, he's shooting these things at Job, at Adam and Eve, at Jesus. Everywhere you turn, Peter. I mean, everybody's getting these arrows of doubt shot at them. Where you think things like, God's not good. Where does that come from? Or God's mean, or God's left you, or God doesn't love you, or God's out to get you, or God's plan isn't good. I mean, where do those thoughts come from? You can sit there and say, oh, that's just coming from me. No, Satan is planting those thoughts in your mind by shooting those arrows your way. The fiery darts of Satan. I think I've got one more and I'll move on. You got the arrow of temptation, you got the arrow of fear, you got the arrow of doubt. How about the arrow of discouragement? His aim is to get you downcast. His aim is to get you to despair. His aim is to get you to worry. His aim is to get you to panic. His aim is to get you wanting to give up. His aim is to get you to wave the white flag. His aim is to get you to throw in the towel. His aim is to get you feeling like there's no reason to live. His aim is to get you in the dirt. His aim is to get you hiding, to know that the arrows are coming and I'm just going to run as far as I can away and just hide in a corner somewhere. I can't take it anymore. Not today, Satan. He wants to tempt us, scare us, make us doubt and get us discouraged. And he shoots those arrows at us all the time. I read a statistic today, and I don't know the exact amount, but I saw the graph that showed from like 1980 to 2020, and it showed high school kids' levels of depression. And the graph from 1980 to 1990 to 2000 to 2005 to 2010 to 2015 to 2020. And kids are just getting more and more depressed, downcast, discouraged, ready to give up. Who do you think is doing that? And everybody's sitting underneath it. Oh, it's the phones. Oh, it's COVID. Oh, it's the schools. Oh, it's the government. Oh, it's this and this. And I know exactly who's behind it all. These are all arrows of Satan. This is what we are up against. And it's not just we. I want you to see that in verse 16. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye. You see that? That word ye would be you, personally. And the closer you get to the front lines, the more these arrows are coming at you. I know that. The more we fight and the more we press in and the more we take a stand and the more we refuse to cross the line and we take hard stands on the Word of God, the more we move closer to the front line and the more those arrows are coming right at us. So we're under attack. Charles Spurgeon said this, we as Christians are like the Spartans. You need to read about Sparta. He said, we're like the Spartans. We're born to be warriors. It's our destiny to be attacked. It's our life to fight. So we are under attack, and it is relentless and it is fierce. So the next point has to be. See, I could have went in the opposite direction because the verse says that. It has it the opposite direction of what I'm taking. It starts with the defense and then shows us the attack. But I want to show you the attack so that you could say, okay, if all this is after me, I'm going to need something to defend myself. So we saw the attack that we have, that we're facing, and now I want to show you the defense that we have, because God hasn't left us defenseless. He's given us something that He says here, and I'll hit it a couple times, but He says here that this defense that He's given us is something that'll be able to quench every single dart that Satan throws at us. Now that's something special. So here's the defense that we have. He says in verse 16, above all, and this doesn't mean that it's first above all. In the Greek, that would be in addition to, on top of everything else, add to your arsenal this. Take up what? The shield of faith. You see that? The shield of faith. And I'm not going to get to the faith just yet because I want to talk to you about the shield. Above all, taking the shield. And you could underline the word shield. I'll get to it in just a second. The shield that is made up of faith, or that is faith. But first of all, let's get to the battlefield. Because in the battlefield, again, I said they would line up these archers and they would shoot the arrows and they'd throw the spears and they'd throw the javelins. And on the other side, how would they defend themselves? They wouldn't sit there and say, oh, look at all that coming. I think I'm just going to stand here and watch them. They would have a shield. Two types of shields. The first type of shield would be your Captain America shield, which would be round. Now, that's not the shield it's talking about here, because that shield won't cover a whole lot, will it? If I had a round shield, let's say about 30 inches around, and you put that on your arm and you carry it into battle like that, but when those arrows are coming, and they're coming from everywhere, hundreds at a time, and you hold it up like this, you're still going to be wide open to be hit in some areas. So that's not the shield they're talking about. I want you to get that shield out of your mind. And this shield is a totally different shield. That would be, the word there would actually be for door. They would, the shield they would, that they had hand-to-hand combat shields, but shields that would be able to quench all the fiery arrows was about 4.5 feet high and 2.5 feet wide. This is a big shield. So big that Spartan mothers, I've read some stuff on Sparta this week. You guys get what I preach what I read. Spartan mothers would tell their Spartan sons that you either come back with your shield or on your shield. So you either come back carrying your shield victorious, or you come back and they're carrying your body on the shield. That's how big that the shield was. You say 4.5 feet is still, it ain't going to cover me. I mean, I'm 6'1", 6'2". It's still going to cover me. But I've read this week that people back then were about 4.5 feet tall. And we've actually grown, and these were little tiny men. So a 2.5 foot wide by 4 foot, 4.5 foot shield would be about covering the entire man. So they're using these big, massive shields that would, I love this, that would be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That we're not just hitting one or two of the arrows. We've got a shield that covers the entirety of who I am, so that when the arrows come in battle, that I can hide behind the shield, and the shield would be, they say it'd be thick, and it'd be made of wood. And then they would take leather, and they would take metal, and they would coat it in water, so that when the flaming arrows hit it, it wouldn't catch fire, it'd be extinguished. Oh, these guys were smart. It would quench all, get this, this shield would quench all the fiery arrows. Can handle all the flaming arrows. This one's big enough to offer full protection to the one who stands behind it. It's sufficient for every need that they have. And that's what we want. A shield that offers full protection from everything that Satan throws at us. And that's what he offers us. As I said, God has not given us a little tiny shield, you know, arrow here, arrow there. And you know, he gives us something that we can hide completely behind. You say, what is it? Look at it. I'm doing good on time. Watch this, watch. I have fun with this stuff. I get to use my shield arm and shoot my arrows. I wish I could just fly over the, was it fly over the something in that song? March in the infantry. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield, which is faith. Or shield that consists of faith. So our shield that protects us is our faith. But what is faith? That's the question. Because now you got to know, I don't have a literal shield. But what I do have over me, covering me from head to toe, that's going to stop all the fiery arrows of Satan, is my faith. Your shield is your faith. And faith here, that the word faith means, and we hear that word a lot, but what is it? And how does it protect us from Satan's attack? First of all, I'm going to give you a couple things and I'll close. Christian saw that I had 2 points tonight and he said, oh, Dad will preach 30 minutes on both points. But watch this. Faith is not some power that resides within us. That we wake up in the morning, I'm going to try real, real hard to have faith today. You know, and people say that all the time. You just got to have faith. People say that. You get attacked by Satan. You got doubts. You got despair. You got temptation. You got fears. And people look at you and say, you just got to have faith. Well, where does that come from? What is that? How do I get that faith? Where does that come from? So people say, oh, it's just positive thinking. You got to think that it's going to be okay. That's going to work great when those arrows come. These arrows are not going to hit me. Not going to hit me. Get behind me, Satan. Not today, Satan. Positive thinking. That doesn't work. It's not blind faith. It's not taking a leap. Again, you might as well be holding up a piece of paper over your head and saying, this will protect me. That's not going to work. You got to know what faith is. You say, what is faith? Faith is, get this, write this down, put this in your notes. Faith is an unwavering trust in God and His Word. Faith is an unwavering trust in God and His Word. It's an unwavering trust in God's promises. It's an unwavering trust in God's plan. It's an unwavering trust in the providence of God. That I trust God and I trust God's Word and I trust His plan, His promises, His providence. I trust everything that He says. And as I trust God, and the more I trust God, the more I'm covered by the shield. It's basic trust in God for daily help every single day. You wake up every day and you put your shields up. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So every day you wake up, moment by moment, hour by hour, and everything that He throws at you, you've got to look at it and say, I choose to trust God in this. Not the culture, not your friends, not your heart, not your emotions. I choose to trust God. You say, it's that simple. Yeah, it's that simple. I choose to trust God. That's what faith is. I trust God. I trust His Word. I trust His promises. I trust His providence. I trust His plan. I trust God in this. You say, I can't do that. That's too hard. Watch this. I knew you'd say that. We must strengthen our faith. Because the Bible says there's some people that have little faith. You right? You have little faith, right? Right? Some of you may be sitting here saying, oh, my faith's too little. My shield is about the size of a toy shield. I have little faith. So when the Satan comes at me, all I got is a little toy Captain America shield that I hold up and he hits me everywhere. The Bible says you can have weak faith. But on the opposite, the Bible says you can have strong faith. And the Bible says you can have great faith. So how can we go, and this is good, how can we go from little faith to great faith or weak faith to strong faith? There are people out there who have little faith, and there's some people out there who have strong faith, great faith. So how do we go from little faith to great faith? And I've got a plan for you. You guys want great faith? You want stronger faith? Yeah. What I'm asking you here is, do you want a bigger shield? You got the Captain America? Let's go to a 6-foot shield, right? You want to go to that? Watch this. Here's how you grow your faith. How can we have stronger faith? 3 ways. This is so good. Number one, we strengthen our faith through Scripture. The Bible says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you want to strengthen your faith, you must be constantly having an intake of the Word of God. The more Word of God you have in you, the stronger your faith will become. The more truth you know about God that you learn from His Word, the more trust you'll have in God. The more you know about the goodness of the plan and providence and purpose of God, the more you'll trust God when the attacks come. So you've got to be learning about God every single day. Open your Bibles when you have doubts. Open your Bibles when you have fear. Open your Bibles when you despair. Open your Bibles when you want to wave the white flag. Open your Bibles and read and study and know who God is. So when you close your Bibles, you can say, I can trust God in this, and you're covered from the fiery attack of Satan. You need daily intake. I'm not just giving you a year's reading plan of the Bible so you can get through it and say, I did it. If you have a yearly intake of the Word of God, your faith will grow as you intake the Word of God. I'm not just preaching to you 3, 4, 5 times a week because that's what we do. The more preaching you hear, the greater your faith will become. When you come to church on Sunday, your faith throughout the week may be like that big. But an hour-long sermon will make that faith even stronger. Number two, you strengthen your faith through prayer. Ephesians 2 says, faith is a gift. So wake up every morning and ask God to strengthen your faith. It's that simple. God, help me have greater faith today. When you wake up in the middle of the night and you've got these strange fears that you don't even know where they come from, start praying, God, give me faith to be able to handle the attack of Satan today. Don't say, not today, Satan. Don't talk to Satan about your fears. Talk to God about your fears. And ask Him for faith that'll be strengthened to withstand. Number three, and I couldn't wait to get to this point. This is good. We strengthen our faith through Scripture. We strengthen our faith through prayer. We strengthen our faith through others. Because I haven't told you yet, but on the front line of the battlefield, and those arrows would be shot, and you'd be on the other side of them, those shields were made almost like Legos to interconnect with one another. So that you had a guy on your left, and you got behind your shield, you would connect it to his shield, and you'd connect it to the guy on your right shield, and down the line, you created a wall that was impenetrable by any arrows. That if this guy's faith was small and yours was large, he could get with you and he'd be protected. And if this guy's faith was large and yours was small, you'd get with him and be protected. That our faith becomes stronger the more we are together. That we're not fighting Satan like David and Goliath, mano a mano, one-on-one, but we go through this together. And our faith is strengthened and stronger together than it is separate. That when I'm around people of great faith, and if my faith is small, and you get around people and start rubbing shoulders with people that have great faith, you know what it automatically does? I hope you understand this. I love being around people that have great faith. That when things come their way, they'll say, you know, God's got this. You know, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. I don't see what He's doing right now, but I know He's doing it. And I get around those people and all of a sudden, you know, I think, yeah, that's right. God's plan is great. He is working this out for good. His providence is perfect. God is good. I trust His promises. And if you isolate yourself, you don't have that. If you're around worldly people, you don't have that. If you're around unbelievers, you don't have that. They're going to speak doubts into your ears. They're going to tell you, like Job's friends, you know, well, what did you do? Or Job's wife, curse God and die. What faith? No, we're meant to be together. If you're alone, you're weak. If you're together, you're strong. Don't be an easy target. We need to spend more time. And I think that's great with a family of faith. That you can get around a family of mom and a dad and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and everybody believes and everybody's encouraging, everybody's lifting each other up and you get through things and your faith is strengthened that way. But God gave us the church for this purpose of strengthening our faith together. And I see so many people, and I'm going to close, I see so many people that are trying to fight the battle by themselves and they are getting destroyed. Marriages and families and lives. And they won't darken the church doors. And all they are is sitting ducks for the attack of Satan. Just to, we need to start thinking about, are we fighting this alone? I know you guys aren't. You're here on a Wednesday night, standing room only. But if you're going to do it alone, you're going to keep getting hit. And Hebrews 10 says that we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and even more so as the day approaches. That it's going to get harder and harder and harder, and we're going to need each other and each other's faith the harder it gets. So faith is our protection. I'm going to close here. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewithal you shall be able, be empowered to quench or extinguish. Look at this. Yeah, I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again. All the fiery darts of the wicked, every single one. You say, but how do we do that? Let me give you real practical, real quick. John Stott says, faith grabs a hold of the promises of God in times of doubt and desperation. That you need that shield ready as soon as doubts come. You got to grab hold of it. And when you're grabbing that shield, you're grabbing the promises of God, saying, I'm trusting it. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, faith makes quick application of what we believe to our current situation. So we say, when Satan hits us with lies and starts throwing at us, did God say, we've got scripture to back it up every single time. When the world throws at you a lie that there's more than two genders, I've got truth that says God made man and God made woman. When the world throws at you a lie, and that's what Satan's going to do, a lie of a man can be with a man and a woman can be with a woman. No. God has one man marrying one woman for life. And we've got truth to throw at it. When Satan hits you with doubt, does God love me? I've got Romans 8 that says, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. And I'm just bringing that shield out. I'm trusting His promises. When people ask me, when doubts start coming of, am I saved or not? Am I right with God? I can go to the scriptures and say, it's not about who I am, but it's about what Jesus did for me. And it totally quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. When I start running out of money at the end of the month, and you start thinking, will God provide? And you bring out the scriptures that God will provide all of my needs according to His riches and His mercy. I've got the shield of faith for every attack that He throws. Is God's plan good? I mean, you can ask yourself that all the time. As there's a death of a 14-year-old in our church, and you sit and look at it and say, how is God working this out for good? How can that be good? I got Romans 8:28 that tells me that whatever God does, He's doing it, and it's good. And that shield of faith is helping me get past all these doubts that He's throwing at me. When Satan hits us with fear, we got verses for that. Despair. Ready to give up. Let me give you a passage real quick. You don't have to turn there. I'm preaching too long tonight, but standing room only. Psalm 42. I don't know how many verses I'll read, but I want to read a few of them. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Watch this, my tears have been my meat day and night. I've not eaten. All they continually say to me, who's saying that to me? Where is thy God? They're taunting Him. And when I hear these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul was cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites and the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep. He's in a bad place. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over my head. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. You see that? And I probably ain't going to stop, but he keeps saying, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, but I hope in God. This is bad, this is bad, this is bad, but the Lord will take care of me. He's doing the same thing. He's getting hit and getting hit and getting hit, and he's throwing up the shield. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night His song shall be with me, my prayer unto God, my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? You see that? Why have you forgotten me? Why am I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say daily unto me, where is your God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? You see how bad? And then he says here, and I've got it circled, but hope thou in God.
Yes.
For I shall yet praise him, and who is the health of my countenance and my God. The psalmist knew. Jesus knew of the shield of faith. You know who else knew the shield of faith? Little Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know when the last time you read it or watched the movie. You need to watch it or read it. But the main character, Christian, and his friend are on a journey to the celestial city on the way to heaven. And on the way, they got locked up in a castle. And the name of the castle, if you remember, was Doubting Castle. And the one who owned the castle was a giant named Great Despair. You see? Now watch this. They were locked up. They were chained. They were taunted. They were mocked. And it was hopeless. And they didn't think there's any way they'd ever get loose. That they were going to spend eternity in the Doubting Castle, locked up by Giant Despair. 4 days they were locked up, and Christian remembered that he had a key in his pocket. And he brought the key out of his pocket, and the key was called the Key of Promise. And he went and he unlocked every padlock, every gate, and every door. And he escaped every doubt from Doubting Castle. All because he had the promises of God. He had faith. I think he's remembering what 1 John 5 says. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God's given us everything we need for the battle. Take up the shield of faith tomorrow, and you can quench every dart that Satan throws at you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the shield of faith. What a marvelous thing that you've given us in order to quench the fiery darts of Satan. And I pray that we wouldn't go in defenseless tomorrow, that we wouldn't do it tonight, that we would learn every day to have our faith strengthened, to have our faith as our defense. And when our faith gets low, or we get down, we get out, all we got to do is join with the church, the faithful, the ones with great faith. And God, I pray that you would strengthen our faith. As the days get hard, Satan attacks even stronger than ever. Help us to have the shield of faith. And we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.